Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live, you can join the show if you want. Live Saturday episode. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight, you've got Ian. Oh, except that his mics are muted.
Canceled about me.
He was talking. He was talking before we went on the air.
What were you muted? Peakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass of CaptainKickass.com.
And also of Beard Talk Live, which is coming up later on tonight. You guys are going to be here.
That's a scientific fact.
In the studio for episode 51. Yeah. Beer Talk Live, because I heard you guys mention last week was 50.
Yeah.
So getting close to the
world. The first rule of radio is never make predictions.
No, I've never heard that one. I've been in the business for a long time. The first rule of radio is you don't make any money at radio.
Oh.
That's, yeah.
It's like music.
Yeah. I guess there are a few people.
No wonder I feel so at home here.
We got microphones, we got cables, and
lots of expensive gear to make it all happen,
right.
But very little in return. Yes, I will never recoup the amount of money I have put into music over my lifetime.
Yeah,
it's not possible.
Absolutely true. If you want to join the show, you can. We allow you to call in, bring up anything you want. There's actually something in the news, and I don't think we got to the banking stuff last week, but you got fresh banking stuff this week.
I do.
Peakless, want to get into that. On the way, we're going to talk a little bit about economic matters. Also, we get the chance more from Argentina. We discussed Javier Milei, the libertarian presidential candidate down there that actually surprisingly won. Not by a huge margin, but he did win the presidential primary.
Yep.
And that's a mix in which all parties are present. So it's something for him to have walked away with that one.
At the very least, he's getting a bunch of press and people are talking about his opinions and, circulating his videos and all that kind of stuff. So.
And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. In fact, I've got an interesting story about, kind of what is life like down there right now for the people that are suffering from the 100% plus a year inflation rate. What is that like?
When coming soon to a government near you.
Mm-hmm. It could very well be sooner than you think. In fact, the thing that we had in common tonight, because we always kind of trade show prep before the show and see who's got what to talk about. And Captain, you and I both had something about the housing prices. It was Professor Peter St. Ange, who is a very well-spoken, very well-produced production he does every day. He does like a little three-minute deal.
His research is solid, too.
He's got it down, and he does it literally 7 days a week, so very, very dedicated production schedule in this case. Actually, it's one of the first things I do when I wake up is I go and I check his channel just to see what he's talking about. He's got his ear to the ground big time in the world of economics and finance. And so this story mentions, I've got his little three-minute video from today that I want to share because it mentions the housing prices. What are people paying? I mean, we keep hearing about the rates going up, going up, going up. But if you're not actively shopping for a house right now, you may not realize just how bad it really is. And as I understand it, the rates are like 7 to 8% on one of these mortgages, these 30-year mortgages at the moment, which is more than double what it would have been like a year, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and I read somewhere, too, that there's something like less than a million houses on the market in the U.S.
Is that right?
Something like that. And I don't have that source right here in front of me, but as I was reading, the post that I grabbed was something that Peter St. Ange had shared from the Kobayashi letter. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I just started following them on the Twitter because Peter reposted something. But it says, the median cost to buy a house hits new record of $2,748 per month, up a massive 90% since 2020.
Damn.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's also a number about, like, what percentage of somebody's income that is. Like, that's a significant percentage. I don't know if it's in that same story.
Yeah. In other words, buying a house today costs nearly $33,000 per year. This is 46% of the median pre-tax household income in the U.S.
46% pre-tax,
yeah,
meaning that... Mm-hmm. Your take-home is lower than the pre-tax income.
Right. So I think they're saying, I'm just taking a guess here, the round number I'm in my mind, I'm like 70 grand must be about the median income, 70 grand a year, if 33,000 is the number you're going to spend per year, and that's 46% of the median pre-tax household income.
There was a video, you know, these videos get shared around on social media. This was a younger woman, maybe like... 28, 29, 30, somewhere in that range. She's in her car. She's doing a selfie, you know, shot where she's just going off about the state of her economy and her life and what she's able to versus not able to do. Sounds like she might have a child or something like that, right? Single mom.
Sure.
And I would have had to have taken some time to edit the thing, and I just haven't had time for that. Because there's a lot of profanity in it. She's really upset.
That's how I feel when I talk about the economy.
Really frustrated. I mean, you have the one benefit of you don't have a child to support, right? Like, you don't, at least that I'm aware of. I don't think you're doing child support at the moment, right, Peekless?
That's correct.
Right. So that's another burden. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole other thing. And she is really upset. Like, she can't make ends meet, or barely is able to make ends meet. She ends the video by saying, am I going to have to, you know, have my son move out of his room and rent it out to a stranger?
I think I've seen this video that you're talking about.
Yeah. And the answer is yes.
Yes,
yeah, you're going to either have to do that, or you're going to have to move back in with your parents or something, right?
Right.
Like, you cannot make ends meet. It is not necessarily your fault. You know, a lot of these people, we're hearing about people getting a second or third job,
right? Mm-hmm.
Even right now.
Yeah, so one of my neighbors actually popped into my driveway last week, a week before or something, and she was like, hey, I don't normally do this, but, you know, I got one of the other neighbors to watch my kid. I got to go drop off an application. Is it possible for you to give me a ride down the street? She was trying to get a job at the local, you know, buy-in, so whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? That's a neighborly thing to do. And turns out it's her third job.
Wow.
Yeah. But before you go on with your thoughts, the rest of this says post-tax. We talked about the pre-tax.
Pre-tax was 46% of somebody's income. Was average?
Median? 46% of the median pre-tax household income in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Post-tax, homebuyers in the U.S. are spending nearly 70% of their income on house payments.
Wow.
Damn.
So, when I was growing up, everything that I was taught was one-third of your income.
Right,
right.
Yes, exactly.
You need to budget one-third of your income, and that's how much you can spend on your apartment or your house or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, thank God I live here in the real world where I have human beings that I can make agreements with and, like, talk to and negotiate with about how we're going to make sure that I'm not taking on more rent payments than I can handle. But in any ordinary circumstance, they always required that you prove that you make three times the rent.
Right.
That was the requirement. And if you could not prove that you made three times the rent, you would not get approved to
Denied.
Live
there. Denied. Right. That being said...
Was it 70 what percent?
70%.
70%.
Yeah.
More than two-thirds of someone's post-tax income is solely going to pay a mortgage payment on the median.
Yes. Yeah. Just for a place to exist.
And then, as I understand it, food is generally the most expensive, like, housing cost beyond the price of rent, right?
Isn't after your mortgage or your rent, I believe food is next.
Car's got to be in there somewhere for a lot of people.
Depending on what you drive and that kind of thing.
But, like, food ain't cheap now either.
No.
What's that? What percentage is food? I wish there was a breakout.
Well, and that's one of the things that, like, so I do door knocking and, you know, surveying and that sort of thing. So I talk to a bunch of people, and so many people are under the impression that, hey, I thought inflation was supposed supposed to go down. No.
Oh, no, no. Haven't you heard it has gone
the
down?
The rate of inflation went down.
Right.
So they are stealing more slowly, more and more and more. Mm-hmm.
The increase of prices will slow slightly compared to what it was.
But the increase will continue to be there as steady as she's ever been.
Well, and now in the last week or so, there's been apparently this big push from the mainstream quote-unquote economists. I'm sure you've seen this, Pikles, where they're arguing that the target inflation rate should no longer be 2%, but it should be 3% now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we're just planning on stealing an additional 50% from all of you. That's all. I mean, no big deal.
That's only going to be the target inflation rate. We're going to try real hard to get to 3, but if you can't get there, then
it's going to
be what it's going to be.
So this isn't one of those circumstances where, like, we ran hot for a while. Like, we were way over 2% for a long time. Maybe we should run it under 2% for a while.
No.
So if they do shift that up to 3%, believe me, if they find themselves at 2%, they'll be like, oh, we better steal a lot more money from everybody.
Well, and I guess the difference between 2 and 3%, as you point out, it is 50%, of course, increase, but also it means like a couple hundred billion a year more in interest payments for the Federal Reserve. So they would love to have it be stuck at, 3% if that's what it can, quote unquote, go down to.
Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that a 0% inflation rate would still be an enormous amount of theft.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is we are increasing our technology. Higher technology makes things cheaper to make.
Mm.
You have less effort, less materials going into any given good or service.
Right.
So what should be happening when you have an increase in technology is that prices go down.
Right.
So even if they were just making sure that prices stayed the same, that would already be an unknown and enormous amount of theft from everyone. But that's not enough.
And just to finish this bit off, because you mentioned rent.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the median monthly apartment rent just hit a fresh record of
$1,859. Wow. That's national. Oof.
That's median. Yeah, national.
Okay.
That's the median.
Mm-hmm. Half or below, half or above.
$1,859.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So what is that? Like if you do the one third, right? That's that's $6,000 a month. Mm-hmm. What's that on an annual basis? $72,000, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean,
$15 an hour job ain't cutting it.
Yeah, that's like $30,000 a year or something. $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Let's see. So related to this, here's this story from Peter St. Ange. He kind of touches on a bunch of economic indicators here for the average individual here in the United States. And here's what he has to say.
Is the American consumer tapping out? This miracle economy of ours has been held up above all by consumer spending. And now the American consumer is giving up as credit card debt explodes, pandemic era savings run out, and salary growth dramatically cools. In the past couple days, we've seen some terrible numbers out of retail. I did a video last week on Target losing $15 billion in value. Now, Bellwether Foot Locker reported sales down 9%, which knocked a third off their stock. Dick's was flat, while Macy's and even BJ's lowered guidance. When even the warehouse clubs are down, it is bad.
You think he did that on purpose?
He said Dick's and BJ's.
The American consumer at this point is running on fumes, piling up debt and running down savings as incomes lag inflation by almost 8% in just 2 years. Exhibit A is credit card balances, which are up almost 40% in those 2 years and just past the $1 trillion line. Which
it's important to just focus on that one for a moment.
What percent?
40%. Credit card balances are up almost 40%, I think, in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what, of course, people are trained to do. You can't make ends meet. Don't cut back your habits.
Yeah.
Don't look at, the things you're spending money on, maybe going to Starbucks every day or whatever other habits that you have that could be cut out of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
No, just put it all on the card. You'll figure out a way to pay for it later or not.
Well, or like,
you'll go bankrupt.
They're spending all their money on rent, and they have no way else to get food.
Yeah.
And they don't want to seem like a bum and go start begging or hit up the food bank whatever.
Sure.
That kind of. And like sometimes people will get straight up denied. Oh, you have a job? Denied.
Right? Like a credit card, you mean, or for
bank. Like the food bank or any sort of even like a welfare program for that matter, right? You want to get on food stamps or something. Like, oh, sorry, you make too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've also watched that the credit card payment, like, people are missing credit card payments because of how little money they have, how much they're spending on housing and food, and the fact that they put all of this extra stuff on their credit cards.
Yeah, that increase in rate of inflation, which means inflation's not going down at all, ever.
No.
Right? It hasn't since I've been alive that I'm aware of.
The system is designed on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yet wages have not gone up, so everything's going to go up and continue to go up.
Well,
in
wages
price.
Went up, just not as much as you would need them to in order to catch up with the.
Yeah, so you're making the same amount of money you did before.
You're
so
making
wages
less.
Went up, just not real wages.
Right, right. You are quote unquote. You're making more with quotes. But it doesn't buy you as much as it did in 2019.
Right. The value of your labor is being stolen from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this thing called price anchoring, where once you get used to paying a certain price for a certain thing, you are really, really hesitant to change and to pay more for that thing. So a lot of people have to leave their job, go work for another company just to get the pay raise, just to keep afloat.
Mm. Right, like we saw, my favorite price anchor was a dozen eggs, right? For the longest time, they were 99 cents, maybe $1.09, somewhere in that. And then, like, recently we saw $6 eggs.
They're back down, though.
They are. They but still, like, that's, that's a price anchor. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of folks have a really hard time.
And I quit buying eggs while it was $6 a dozen.
I was kind of already buying farm fresh eggs.
We're buying the...
In New Hampshire, I can't drive more than 10 minutes without seeing fresh eggs.
Right.
Somebody selling some fresh eggs at their farmside stand or just out of their house or whatever. So it's real difficult not to find this stuff, but... it certainly is a thing that most common people can relate to, is the price of eggs. Whereas a lot of times people who aren't economists or haven't studied the economy in any way, I don't consider myself an economist in any way, shape, or form, but I still think I'm ahead of like the common man when it comes to understanding
economics. If you can define inflation, you're ahead of the common person, I think.
But if it's really not that difficult, and the way to teach people economics, of course, is to give them something tangible that they can relate to. And so eggs, like the media likes to use gas, right, as sort of that anchor. Like, oh, the price of gas is $4 now or whatever it is, right?
Right.
I think that that's kind of a lot of gas stations will use gasoline.
It's subsidized, number one.
It's subsidized, and they'll also use gasoline as a loss.
No, actually, gas is not subsidized.
Not directly, but in the form of the U.S. military going over and protecting those companies, it's subsidized.
Right. But gas stations will also use gasoline as what they call a loss leader to sell everything else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
they're not making money on gas.
Yeah, they'll purposely not make
a profit
on the sale of gas so that they can buy cigarettes, lotto tickets, beer, wine, all that kind of stuff. If they got a sandwich shop inside there, whatever.
If they are making anything, it's probably 1 or 2% or something
Like
that. So let's continue here. He points out that this $1 trillion in credit card debt is a record high, by the way, for people in the United States.
It's a record high.
So record high credit card debt, record high rent.
Is it record? It wouldn't surprise me, but
Well, record high median.
Okay.
Right? The median is a record high.
Okay.
We're talking 70% of post-tax income on mortgages.
Oh, meanwhile, by the way, we talked recently about BRICS on the show, the other big world power group that's now expanding to have 11 total members, I believe. It has 5. BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They're going to be adding 6 more countries, including Argentina, Egypt, and more importantly, the the UAE and Saudi Arabia, which means, according to one guy's totals, the BRICS organization will have 80% of the world's oil output. under its umbrella.
Yeah, and this is something that I've definitely talked about on this show, that the OPEC agreement to only take U.S. dollars for oil has been the thing that kept the American dollar at its on the throne, like as the world's the world's reserve currency.
This is where the term petrodollar comes from.
Exactly, the petrodollar system, which, man, that was so hard for me to learn about, and it turns out there's this whole, it's the petrodollar system, yeah. But that is absolutely what backs the dollar, is the fact that every country knows that they can get energy, which they need to survive, if they have dollars. And that's why they have this as like, oh, yes, that's the secure thing. So now if you have 80% of the world's oil, and they don't want to use the dollar, that is... Okay, that is where we're headed.
Well, and if you believe all of the dollar defenders out there, and there's a lot of them, basically anyone in the mainstream opinion media in the world of economics is going to say, oh, it's no big deal. BRICS means nothing. It's nothing. The dollar is in charge. 90% of world's trade, and, you know, just going on and on about how the dollar is untouchable. Meanwhile, headline here from MoneyWise, India just bought 1 million barrels of oil, 1 million barrels, from the UAE, both now in the same economic agreement under BRICS. This news actually came out, I think, right around the time of the BRICS meeting that was going on earlier this week. It was like Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, somewhere in that range. They had like a three-day summit that where they made these decisions. So it was right around that time where they bought it from the UAE using the Indian rupee instead of the U.S. dollar for the first time ever, apparently.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal, and that's what one of the key things that BRICS has been talking about. There's been the teaser of they might do their own currency, like an international currency or a BRICS multinational currency. Which, that hasn't happened yet.
Which, but, honestly, I don't expect that anytime soon.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of time.
And like I forget what exactly the title was, but one of the high-up BRICS financial officer guys is like, yeah, that is a medium to long-term plan.
Absolutely.
And that's accurate.
It takes a lot of planning to make that happen.
Honestly, each of these countries individually has a lot of difficulty with their organization.
Sure.
Now, if you add on top of that, getting them all to agree with very different cultures on what they're going to do, how they're going to run their currency system, yeah, that is probably a long way off. That actually doesn't matter that much.
No, because they can do what they're doing right now, which is say, okay, no more dollar petrodollar. Mm-hmm. We're just going to be the rupee, petro or the petro ruble. Or whatever they can trade between one another with their existing central bank currencies, they're going to be doing that. This is an indicator of things to come, and these things can come right now. Yeah. There's nothing to wait for.
I mean, the nice part about this is that it's in a country's best interest to diversify their reserve currencies. Oh, I'll hold a little bit of rupees, I'll hold a little bit of yuan, a little bit of rubles, instead of just all of a sudden, oh, I've got to hold half in yuan and half in dollars.
So let me see if I understand this. What you guys are saying is, all in all, it's just another BRICS in the
Yeah, and the question, of course, is BRICS going to change its acronym, or are they going to stick with BRICS?
I was going to ask that when you mentioned that there were more countries. I'm like, it seems their acronym's a little short.
I think they're going to stick with the BRICS just because it works. And,
it's kind of a good one. Hitting the BRICS is what we're doing.
It's not a bad one. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. But I think one of the more important questions is, when are the BRICS countries going to start dumping the dollar reserves that they have? They're not going to.
China already started.
Well, right, but they're not going to tell you when that's going to happen. They're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll do it all at once.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. At least four people are dead after a shooting Saturday in a Jacksonville, Florida store. CNN reports the shooter is dead after barricading himself in a Dollar General. Boston's mayor is condemning a shooting that injured seven people during a parade Saturday morning. Police say two people are under arrest. Bob Barker is being remembered as the most popular game show host of all time. He passed away Saturday at his home in Los Angeles at the age of 99. The 60th anniversary March on Washington is drawing thousands to the nation's capital. Civil rights groups are marking Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic 1963 march with a rally at the Lincoln Memorial. Forecasters say Franklin has strengthened into a Category 1 hurricane in the Atlantic. It's expected to begin impacting Bermuda by Sunday night. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Number is 603-283-6160. Although we are talking about economics and, you know, the real world aspect of making ends meet, because the average person isn't really concerned with Austrian versus Keynesian or any of the real details of economics. They just want to know, are they going to be able to make the rent payment at the end of the month, pay the power bill, keep food on the table, and, you know, make sure their kids are taken care of.
This brings into question the entire idea of living a subscription-based life.
What does that mean?
Well, you have to pay something every month in order to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is like a subscription-based,
like you will own nothing and be happy kind of thing.
Yeah, like shouldn't there be a point in your life where, okay, I no longer have to pay every month for everything? right? This subscription.
No, you always have to pay property tax until you die.
Well, right. There is that.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, like, even prior if you pay the house to, off. Prior mm-hmm. to, I don't know, 100 or so years ago, mm-hmm. right? This wasn't out of the question.
Right.
To not live a subscription-based life. Like, I'm pretty sure my grandparents were maybe the first generation to begin to live the subscription-based life.
Okay.
To them, they always hunted every season for whatever, anything that was available to be hunted. You know, they, of course, bought hunting licenses as those things came about and things of that nature. But they'd get a deer every year at least. They'd go squirrel hunting, rabbit hunting, duck hunting, right? They had several gardens. They would can all of their own stuff. By canning, I mean jarring, right?
Right.
You know? But, you know, the old school stuff. They owned a meat grinder, you know?
With a crank on it?
Yeah, with a crank on it. You know, the cast iron looking thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. They were able to do all of these things themselves without... I mean, sure, they had to buy, like, ammunition to go hunting. And
you know. You can literally buy a box of meat sent to your house every month.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But what I'm saying is, like...
subscription service.
Is there was a point in their life... where they didn't live a subscription-based lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Money to them was on top of all of that.
I see.
They provided for themselves in, a popular amongst libertarians is the homesteading lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a, like, get back to that non-subscription-based lifestyle, where maybe you have some property that's paid off, and you're able to grow your own food and raise some animals and barter within your mm-hmm. community to get most of the stuff you need so that all you have to pay is your property tax, that kind of a thing. But... why stop there? Why can't human beings get to a point where they're not living a subscription-based lifestyle at all?
Because of taxes, I think. Right? Because you always have to pay. Even if you pay off the home, you still have to pay the gang.
Right.
If you don't pay the gang, they will take your home from you, and then they'll just sell it to somebody who is willing to pay them.
Yes.
And then you're out in the streets, which ironically then... if you're like the average person, you would go to the government and ask them for help. I wouldn't personally, but but that's what a lot of people would do. So
but what I'm saying is that idea is impossible with the existence of government.
It is. Yeah, that's true.
It's not possible for a human on planet Earth to live a non-subscription-based lifestyle.
Well, I mean, I guess I hear kind of like two things in what you're saying. There's on one hand this critique of the subscription-based lifestyle, and then on the other hand, there's this embracing of the idea of, you know, taking care of your own property and having these things that you rely on that you can do all yourself. And certainly what we've seen over time is the idea of the division of labor, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like... you don't need to do all those things yourself. You can have somebody do a lot of those things. Now, that usually means you have to pay them to do those things. But if you're doing something that's very valuable, then you can afford to pay people to do those things. So it's like, I'm of the opinion that I don't want to raise animals, right?
But
I'd rather have Jay Noon and Bardo Farm take care of that.
And you want to barter for those things.
Yeah.
But are you paying them every month for that? Are you on a service?
We pay them when we run out of meat.
Right, right.
So,
but
like,
you're not like it would be the equivalent of paying a plumbing company some amount of money per month just in case something goes wrong.
Okay. Well,
right. You don't do that. You only call the plumber when you need him.
Well,
right.
Not necessarily. We do have a yearly maintenance plan with the heating company or whatever. So they come by on a once a year basis, and they, you know, the oil heater, right? It needs to have certain things done to it on a regular basis.
Sure.
If you don't, it's going to break down. So
I'm not saying
you can wait till it breaks down, or you can pay them.
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with subscribing to services that you don't want to do or otherwise can't. What I'm saying is that the current basis of society doesn't even allow for that as a possibility.
Right.
The other way,
to be off subscription.
Right. You know? Don't just get to own your stuff at a certain point and be set. You can never be set for life because you don't know how long you're going to live and you don't know what the taxes are going to do while you're still alive.
Right.
Whereas, like, you used to be able to go off away from civilization, make a place for yourself, and figure out a way that you could just provide for your own existence and not have to rent your reality from anyone else.
There's only one guy I can think of that's doing anything close to that, and that was River Dave.
Right.
The guy living off the land in New Hampshire, literally on or near the river, one of the rivers here.
Yeah. In a shack or whatever.
And then
you know,
burned him out.
Yeah.
So the government literally came and set his house on fire.
Yeah. That is how they respond to you getting off of their subscription.
Right. I would say, I guess the key difference here is what things can you continue to do versus what are you prohibited from being able to do for yourself? Because, like, you know, like I said, I don't want to raise animals. Could I? Yeah, I mean, I could if I wanted to go buy a farm and get some animals and just do all that. Our co-host Mark Edge did pigs for a while. He had a bunch of pigs.
And named them after politicians, too.
And he slaughtered the pigs, and he went through that whole procedure, and then he just decided he didn't want to do that anymore. And so, you know, he got away from it. But there are some things that if you want to do those things yourself, you just cannot do those things
yourself.
Right.
There are certain areas, most areas of population anyway, until you get out into the rural areas, you have to be tied to the electric grid.
Mm-hmm. They won't let you build a new home unless.
So even if you have an existing home and you want to convert entirely to solar and unplug from the city grid, you're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Better find somewhere else to live if you want to do that.
You can still put up solar panels, but you got to be connected to the grid so that they can take your value from you without your permission whenever you make excess.
Another example that I thought of was the electric cars, like a Tesla, for instance. Tesla specifically, I believe, keeps their parts on lockdown. This is what I've heard. I'm not sure this is 100% true, but I believe this to be true, meaning that if you want to repair your Tesla, something, you know, it's time for an oil change or whatever, you have to go to an authorized dealer for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take that to a garage of any sort. You cannot do it yourself. Like, a lot of people like to do their own car stuff, right? Because that's one of those things that they can be independent with. They can source their own parts from wherever they get the parts and then do the labor themselves because they're car guys or they're into that or whatever. Not with a Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla.
Can't do it.
Tesla is absolutely in favor of moving from owning a thing to the subscription model.
Right.
We're like, oh, well, you better pay a subscription or no heated seats for you or whatever it is.
It's not just them. We read a whole story about, I think, BMW's doing that now. Yeah. And there's multiple companies where the equipment's in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to pay them to turn it on. With Tesla, it was like you could pay an extra X per, you know, when you buy the thing, or maybe it's a monthly charge, and you'll get the supercharge where you can hit 0 to 60 in 2 seconds instead of 3 or whatever it is, right? So they actually increase the speed for you.
And then if there's some industrious, smart Tesla owner out there who decides, hey, I'm, you know, I need to replace this part in my car. Mm. I'm just going to pull this part out. I'm going to take it apart. I'm going to scan it, and I'm going to 3D print a replacement part.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to that guy?
A warranty violation, probably.
Okay, but what about legal repercussions? What if he puts that information online and allows everybody else to be able to print their own replacement part?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was watching this like documentary on travelers, which is basically gypsies in England, right?
Yeah.
And this guy's talking about how he went to jail. Oh, you know, for cloning motors, and I'm like, for what? Cloning motors. I had to look up what is cloning motors, and it's like, holy crap, you can just, like, build motors that are as good and in the same kind of shape as major car companies, and what do we do with these people?
Put them in jail.
We put them in jail.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Like, how do you even do that? You don't have, like, a massive manufacturing, but you're managing to do it. Oh, gotta go to jail for that.
That's just like the concept of intellectual property.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
People are like, oh, if you download a copy of a movie, you're stealing, or a copy of somebody's album's band, you're stealing. Well, okay. If I figure out a way to scan your automobile, right, in such a way that I can replicate all of the parts of it, and so I scan your automobile, and I take that information home, and I go print up, 3D print up all the parts that I need, and I assemble exactly your car.
Mm-hmm.
Have I stolen your car?
No.
Why not?
Because I still have it.
Right.
Because you can't steal an idea.
Well, in order for something to be theft, the original owner has to be left without it.
Correct. Yep. There has to be a shortage. There has to be a loss.
Right.
There has to be, you know, something that person is
you
without.
Stole my idea.
Making
That's
a copy,
not possible.
Right. Making it's a copy is not theft.
Right.
I agree. Let's go to Dave Ridley. He's on the line from RidleyReport.com. Dave, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, How close, have you guys been paying close attention to the scandal surrounding the Sununu Youth Services Center in Manchester?
No, I haven't been paying close attention. Have you guys?
I keep seeing stuff on this. Our frequent caller, Robbie Poppins, Robin Vermont.
Yeah.
He has been paying attention to that and keeps sending me stuff on it.
Yeah,
I read an article he forwarded me in. I only got halfway through it. It was so repulsive and disgusting.
Jay Noon's been following it pretty closely as well, our Thursday night co-host. And basically, as I understand it from the outside, not having followed it closely, this is essentially a youth, what they call detention center, where apparently some rapes went on, some number of them, a fairly large number, because they've set aside like $100 million or $150 million to be offered to these victims who are now piling up.
Right.
Because they're all, you know, it's you know how it is, the pile-on thing, right? Like one guy says, hey, so-and-so guard raped me. Oh, yeah, me too, and me too. Like everybody stands up and says, yeah. And looks like there's some truth to these allegations, so the state's paying out upwards of $150 million, or they're offering these people in order to avoid court, because they could pay a lot more if they lose in court. So they're saying, hey, how about we give you $100,000 and you just go away?
We won't admit any wrongdoing.
Right, right.
We still get to keep all of our government subsidies and not have
a big
old scandal.
We wouldn't want Officer Rapey to actually have to lose his job and possibly face criminal charges. So here's $150,000. You go away, have a nice life, and we'll just keep things hush-hush. Don't sue us.
Well,
that's what's going on, as I understand it.
And, of course, as I always tell people, because I was in the family courts for some period of time in my childhood, and family court is even worse than every other type of court you could possibly have to be subject to, because they do not play by even their same rules.
No.
Family court just gets to make crap up as they go, and then people just go, oh, I guess that's what the family court decided, so we gotta do that. And it's heinous. It's brutal.
As long as the judge considers it to be in the interest of justice, then that's what happens.
Is juvenile court
rule.
Family court, though? Like, if you get wrapped up as a juvie with a criminal charge, does that go through family court, or is that, like, special closed?
I believe juvenile court is a branch of
district.
Family court. I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer.
Because I think it's whatever court it is that's sending these kids to jail, essentially.
According to this article, this is a family court thing.
Hmm.
This is the article that Rob sent me. It says, here's some background for better understanding of the seriousness of the crimes. The state of New Hampshire family court judiciary are committing felony crimes, and we the people are demanding they be indicted and sent to prison for these crimes against humanity. So apparently this is specific to family court.
Hmm. All right. What about it, Ridley? What have you heard?
Well, just some more numbers from you, from this article, or for the two articles I read. Apparently there are 10 people that have been charged, by the state with crimes against the kids. And there was, I guess, a thousand different lawsuits, either that or 1,000 different people doing lawsuits, against the state over this. And, the last number is 100. That is the number of people who showed up at a demonstration, I guess, about a week ago, at the state house, complaining about the slow progress of, we investigated ourselves and determined that we'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds about right. I'm sorry to hear there was only 100 people showing up, but then again, would it really have made a difference if there was 1,000? Probably not. These bureaucrats are going to cover their butts as effectively as they possibly can. They're going to use your taxpayer money to do it. It's not going to be the officer rapies who are going to be paying out to these kids. It's going to be the taxpayers who are going to be paying out. That's where that $150 million is coming from. I mean, if they face criminal charges, that's nice and all, but that doesn't that doesn't resolve the problem. That just means that those officers are out of the system, meaning their jobs are open now for some other sick pervert to come in and take those jobs. Because who is going to be attracted to a job with power over children?
Gee, I wonder.
Where they're literally kept in your facility against their will, and they have to do what you say. What kind of person is attracted to that particular job?
Sometimes it feels almost like a torture scandal. People in America, it seems like they all know it happened, U.S. troops torturing people and everything, beating that guy's legs until they had to cut them off except you died before they could do the amputation. You know, it's the most vile things. And people just, you talk about that, and they're like, well, let's talk about something else. You know, they're just like, mm-hmm. this is such a big deal. They can get really angry about someone beating a guard, maybe, at January 6th protest. But in that, they'll lose their minds over that, but their eyes just glaze over if you want to talk about the really bad things that are going on.
Cognitive dissonance.
It's like so bad, so unspeakable, it just can't even be discussed or addressed. And I feel like I'm even part of this problem in the sense that I've only done maybe two things about this at all myself, right? Mm-hmm. Including this call. I can't remember, only one other thing I've ever done about it. And,
The good news is, as I understand it, Ridley Report is coming back, your online video series that you started as far back as, what, 2007, 8? When did you start Ridley Report?
2007.
So we're talking about 15 years ago. This thing had been going on for years. You took a break for over, I think, the last year or so, and you're bringing it back, as I understand it. So I bet, you know, if you can get a ride to wherever one of these things is going on, you can hold some of these people to account yourself, Ridley.
Well, yeah, I should say I wasn't taking a break so much as I was deplatformed.
Well, yeah. I got you. But now you're coming back. Check out Dave Ridley. He's going to be you got new videos that are in the pipe. You're still working on them, as I understand it. But they'll be coming back to Ridley Report on, it's Odyssey and BitChute?
Correct.
All right. Very cool.
Just go to RidleyReport.com.
Perfect. Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
You're welcome.
Let's continue with Skeeter in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Hello, my free-riding Pollyanna seditioners. It's your favorite fearmonger here, Little Feet. Hey, Austrian Economics isn't the only economic school that supports a pure market system, you know. Austrian Economics is built off fallacy and false idols.
What's the other free market economic school?
Skeeternomics.
Hilarious.
For example, intellectual property isn't wrong because it isn't theft. It's wrong because it's unprofitable and too expensive to suppress information, right?
So you're a utilitarian, so it would explain why you would say something like that. What else were you calling about tonight?
Yeah, so, calling in to say, taxation isn't theft if people would have given it voluntarily at the threat of the removal of government services.
Well,
also,
that's impossible to know.
Taxation is an aggression.
You can't actually know if the sex is consensual when there's a knife against her throat. That's kind of the problem of doing that.
So it also is an aggression or extortion since you don't have to pay it.
Absolutely extortion.
Move the hell away instead of free riding national defense. You can renounce your citizenship and move out.
No, you can't. You obviously have not done any research on this. In order to quote unquote renounce citizenship legally, you have to pay them.
It's like mm-hmm. over $4,000 now.
Yeah. Oh no.
I'm sorry,
That's the filing fee. Roger Veer, former sponsor, longtime sponsor, like angel-level sponsor of this show, he got a little tired of living in the United States after they put him in federal prison for selling fireworks on the Internet. He was selling fireworks on eBay, which apparently other people do, but they went after him for it because he was involved in politics out in California. And they put him in prison for that. And after that, he just got a little bad taste in his mouth about living here. So he said, you know what? I'm out. And he went and he moved to St. Kitts, Nevis. He's in Japan a lot of the year. He kind of moves around. He's an international man now. But in order to get to that point, he had to renounce his citizenship, which included paying six figures to the federal government to settle whatever it is they said that he, quote unquote, owed them. So the whole idea that you're just going to be able to ride off into the sunset just because you want to say bye-bye to these thugs is absolutely ridiculous.
The only free rider at when Skeeter calls a Skeeter, he's free riding the Free Talk Live.
Sure is. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call tonight, Skeeter.
Yeah, as I understand it, you also have to leave their claimed geographical territory. So
you cannot come back without a green card or whatever the legal stuff
is. So, you can renounce your citizenship from another country. You must be in another country in order to renounce your citizenship to this country. Like, it cannot be any of the places that they have claimed to control.
That's correct.
While you renounce. No, no, no.
And you cannot come back without being treated as an immigrant at that point.
Wait, so you're saying that even if I wanted to renounce my citizenship, let's just assume that I didn't.
Right.
And I go, hey, I want to do that. They're like, well, you're still here. You can't do that.
Right.
I see.
That's exactly it. Yeah, and I think there might even be a requirement that you have citizenship in another recognized country in order to renounce your citizenship here.
Well, that's doable. I mean, some of these countries will literally, you can buy their citizenship. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, that's the easiest part of what you're talking about. But, yeah,
if you got the money,
it's a whole bureaucratic thing.
Yeah, and mind you, if you don't renounce your citizenship, even if you never return to the United States, they will still hunt you down for your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, if you're a quote, U.S. citizen, unquote, and you decide you're going to go overseas and you get a job overseas, you're getting paid, you know, not in dollars by, you know, some company from some other land. You're living in that land. You're paying rent in that land. Yeah, the U.S. is still going to tax you.
They think you owe them.
Right.
Yeah. If you were born in the geography that they claim, they will hunt you down for what they feel they are owed in spite of having never provided you anything whatsoever.
The government does this weird thing called the lottery of birth, right? Depending on, you know, what geographic area, what piece of dirt you happen to be ejected from your mother's vagina on, is the government that you are subjected to. You don't volunteer to join it. You don't consent to it at all.
That's a great point. And that, I think, it bears repeating the idea that you don't have to renounce something you never had in the first place. Where is the evidence besides your claim on various government forms, which you had to say this in order to fill the form out to get the thing that they were holding over your head, like a driver license, so they don't kidnap you when you're trying to get from home to work, where you say, I'm a U.S. citizen. Where's the evidence of the actual agreement of citizenship? Absent an actual immigration procedure, which they actually do go through a citizenship procedure where they have to take a test and they have to swear an oath and they have to go through a whole thing. If you're born within the so-called United States geographical landmass, you're just considered a citizen. But all you have to do is go look at the definition of citizen to learn what it is. And the definition of citizen is, in both legal and normal dictionaries, you go ahead and pick it up and see for yourself, is one who owes a duty of allegiance in return for an obligation of protection.
Right.
It is supposed to be a trade. It is supposed to be an agreement. First of all, you never signed anything, number one, so obviously it doesn't exist. But even more proof is that the U.S. government's own Supreme Court has ruled over and over that they do not owe you any obligation of protection.
Right. That goes for military and police, just in case everybody's wondering. Oh, it's only police. No, it's
over
for military and police.
And over.
And since you bring up the legal definition of a citizen, it is thoroughly established that it is identical to subject.
Yeah.
The legal term citizen is subject.
Listen to
they
what
are
the police
your king,
say.
You are their peasant. That is the relationship.
Tune into any police scanner and listen to how they talk about you. Maybe not you personally, but the people who are not the police. Whenever they talk about subject is blah, 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 blah. Subject is, oh, they're turning subject east on 91 or whatever. Right? Like, every time they refer to someone who is not one of their gang, it is talking about a subject. I mean, there it is. It's right there. Anyway, there's more coming up here. Hour number two is on the way. We're going to talk more about what's going on in the economy. People are having a tough time making ends meet. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us on Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi. Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.